The state's framework uses a system of low, medium, and high risk to describe conditions in a community, depending on number of active cases and spread of the disease. It's similar to the green, yellow, red system now adopted by the medical center, and it could mean closures of classrooms and activities in times when case numbers are on the rise in Petersburg. Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter said decisions had not yet been made about the start of the school year in Petersburg. During a radio call-in show, she said the district is planning to survey local families about distance learning and in-person classroom time. Klute-Painter said she's already heard a wide range of opinions on reopening.
There are people who really believe we just need to, you know, put everybody back in the building and get going. And, you know, much as I'd love to just say that we could do that, it's not that simple. And then there's also some who are, you know, pretty much regardless what we do, they may keep their kids out of the building. So it's kind of runs the whole gamut of that. So definitely be reaching out to stakeholders in our community, definitely be working in partnership with our childcare providers and our preschools and even all of our extraneous groups.
Local students may have an option to enroll in a distance learning program, but still be enrolled through the Petersburg School District. Klute-Painter said the goal is to have some combination of on-site and virtual learning, with the bulk of it on-site.
And I think that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people, is they just want to know what their options are. And if they can have some flexibility within that, that seems to be very important. And we obviously want that as well. We don't want people feeling uncomfortable. What we do know is, you know, I'm 95% sure it will not look like a normal August, September start to school. I think we all know that. I think we're all coming to grips with that.
The state is recommending districts come up with plans for social distancing between students in the classroom and school bus, cleaning facilities, and daily health checks if possible. Klute-Painter also highlighted the importance of masking and social distancing to keep the community in the low-risk category.
The better that we do at that, to be honest, the more our risk decreases as a community, and, you know, the more open things can be. So that's the best way that I can put it, I think. What happens in our community is reflected in our school. That's the message that we're getting from the state. So if we're low risk as a community, that's a good thing for the school. It means we're going to have a little more flexibility.
During that radio call-in, Board President Sarah Holmgren said she's reluctant to make decisions too soon. She has a child in the district's summer reading program.
Going through even that process of, you know, very few kids, keeping them separate, taking their temperature, using hand sanitizer, wearing a mask unless they're outside and separated from each other. And it seems to be going rather smoothly. So that's kind of, in some ways, the summer program is a testing ground for what may or may not be necessary in the fall.
Administrators discussed the approach for reopening schools in the fall during this week's board meeting. One concern in the community is the loss of childcare space because of COVID closures and restrictions. Elementary principal Heather Kahn reported to the board that the school is looking into finding a space for local daycare providers after school programs. Kahn noted that safety is a concern for kids ages 5 through 12 who are left home alone as parents go to work and daycare providers have limited space. Board member Katie Homeland is also a teacher at Good Beginnings Preschool and a co-director of the after-school program Kinderskog. She asked about a time frame for the district to make its decisions.
I know there's so many unknowns, so it's a silly question in some ways, but it would be nice to have time to think of a way where we can not be overstepping each other, mm-hmm. and being able to make sure that kids are in quality programs if families want that service.
Klute-Painter agreed decisions need to happen as soon as possible to allow teachers and parents to prepare. She also talked about forming a stakeholder committee to help in that discussion. The board also heard about the district's approach for return of school activities and sports. Activities Director Jamie Cabral said outdoor programs could be allowed to start as soon as July 13th, but he also outlined social distancing, hygiene, and screening measures that will be in place for sports and activities, also using a green, yellow, red system.
Even though we might be in the green as a community, our activities will start in the yellow in order for our coaches to know what it's like to be in the yellow, just in case we float back there. So we may evolve into green later on down the road, but if we ever have to go back to yellow, we know what the coaches will know what to do. The kids will know the protocols And if we're ever in red, that means we're completely shutting down.
Depending on the level of community risk, sports and other activities could have temperature checks for any coaches, students, and spectators before someone enters a building, as well as regular cleaning for indoor spaces. Measures for student travel and housing are still to be determined, and coaches will be adding COVID training to their preparation. The board did not make any decisions about the start of next school year. They normally don't meet in July, but could this summer if needed. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.